if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JeffG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Charles Garrity says, what's up? What's up? Runes Wandering says, this is going to be amazing. Yeah, I'm very enthusiastic about this Hunter Biden, Nick Fuentes interview. By the way, did I predict this? I think I predicted this. I believe I said back on the day Hunter Biden did the interview with Candace Owens. I believe if you go back, maybe someone wants to go back and click it. I believe I said, you know what? This is a omen. We're going to have a Nick Fuentes versus Hunter Biden interview at some point. And here we are. I mean, it must have been about 2 months ago, maybe, or whenever it was that Hunter Biden appeared on Candace Owens. And I said, wow, that is the opening of a new form of left, because the left has been operating on taboo and cancel culture. But eventually, this is unsustainable. Eventually, you know, the isolationist Israeli position of the Daily Wire is untenable in a hyper-communicative, hyper-informative moment of the internet. And so at some point, you can get 1 million views, 5 million views by inviting Nick Fuentes. So you'd be stupid not to do it. This is how capitalism comes to fix things sometimes. Even the left can be fixed by capitalism. Lauren says, the picture of them sitting together looks like AI. I mean, yeah, these days you don't even know. These days you can't know the truth anymore. We can't know if it's AI, but it seems that it is an official announcement that they will be on a podcast. I don't know. Nick has confirmed on his Telegram, so it does seem like a serious thing. I don't think it's AI. But yeah, there are things that are so surreal, you end up thinking about AI. So I'll be commenting on this later in the show. A couple of reviews of the news. Today I did my lawn mowing, so I've been under the sun. I did lawn mowing, trimming of the grass, cleaning of the side ditches so that all the grass is clean. Cat's Dad says, Nick may be on the generational marathon. Yeah, I think that the generational run was not the peak of Nick. Nick has something to him that I think it's almost like you always think that the future is better for him. There has to be a peak to everything. But I don't think Nick has fully reached it yet. I'm very excited about what happened in this interview. Because they say there was some kind of a fight. They say that the host had to separate them. I think it was probably bravado, but we'll talk about what could have happened there. 30 years ago, Don Fry, one of my heroes, fought Mark Coleman for the first time and had his first and only UFC loss. Don Fry, man, that guy was so fun to watch fight in the Pride Championships era, in the early UFC era. He was coming with his American speedo, American flag, and he looked so American. He looked like white people of North America. He kind of looked like my father in many ways, with the mustache. My father had this exact mustache at some point in his life. Eventually, he got rid of it, but Don Fry, to me, was the model of a high-muscle man, North American, who was able to fight very complex fights. at a moment of the UFC where fights were very exciting, where there was big asymmetry in the boxing versus groundwork wrestling, where everyone was not yet so overtrained in jiu-jitsu, so you still had some excitement about what would happen in a fight. And this is probably one of the most epic moments of Don Fry. They started hitting each other on the head and it never stopped. They were hitting each other in the head with a Japanese fighter, just never stopping. It kept going and going like a loop. It was insane. Don Fry was insane. This is one of my favorite moments of his. And unfortunately, in that fight, I rewatched it yesterday. Mark Coleman, a very, very good fighter, a guy with a massive history and massive ground dominator of the early UFC. He was just mounted, guard mount, side mount, eventually north-south, completely dominant over Don Fry, and Don Fry couldn't do anything about it. Gus Grizzle says, mustaches look ugly when men get old and it turns gray. I don't know. You know, the guy in the Big Lebowski, the cowboy guy, this guy pulls a nice gray mustache. It's possible to have a nice gray mustache. Of course, it's not for men, you know, and when I compared myself to Graham Platner and I said, look, his skin is aging and mine is still pretty youthful, and we're born on the same year, people have started saying, no, he's more beautiful than you. You have to be very careful with male beauty, because people will say a male is beautiful, but they won't have sex with him. So there is a kind of old man aesthetics that even females will tell you, oh, it's kind of nice looking. Oh, yeah, he's beautiful. Oh, yeah, I find him manly. But they won't make a baby with him. So you have to be very careful about this, because never forget, when you talk of beauty, you are in the domain of female deception largely. And ultimately, I count it as we should have a concept of beauty that's a scale from 0 to 10. And that is solely measured, not by visuals or anything, solely measured by, will a woman accept livable sperm in her uterus from this guy? That is the standard of beauty. And then there's all these effeminate men who will be judged as objectively beautiful. Women won't have sex with them. There's all these old men. They're, oh, wow, manly. Oh, I like this cowboy gray hairstyle. But they won't have sex with them. So be careful when we talk of beauty. Timothy Roy says he looks like a Japanese person's idea of what an American looks like. Well, that is exactly what the Pride Championships have been. They were martial arts tournaments back in the days, earlier than UFC. And they were in Japan. And they were the big thing in Japan. They were filling stadiums with this. And a lot of the Pride model was built around, let's get a Japanese guy to fight a gigantic American or Russian or, you know, Mirko Krokop. What's it? Mirko Krokop or Mirko Krop. Anyways, whatever his name was, this guy was a giant, super Aryan structured, you know, shoulders and muscles. And they were fighting sometimes much smaller Japanese guys. And Bob Sapp! And this guy was coming from the football world and he was just gigantic. And they were having him face Japanese guys that sometimes were three times less heavy than him. That was hilarious. It's so sad that we've went toward categories, weight categories and stuff, because it's Krokop. That was his name, Krokop. The Ape Man says, Jeff, what do you think about extracting the sperm from all 130 plus IQ males and using it to inseminate all the females in the population, every female mandated to have one such baby for 1,000 years? Well, I am against this because this is the problem of non-natural, human-made, engineered evolutionary paths, and they're always wrong. It's just not correct that we need 130 IQs more. We need only 130 IQs to the extent that 130 IQs are survivable and selectable by females. And that's not all 130 IQs. Have you ever interacted with these high IQ people? I mean, they are total unfits. And I am a high IQ people. I just turned out to be so dramatically motivated in my biological quest to reproduce that I'm able to overcome, but it's not easy. And we don't want to engineer high intelligence artificially in the population, because you don't know what's the future ecology. You don't know if that's what you want. You don't know if that's what will survive. So anything you try to do against nature, nature comes back to bite you. You can think that you're forming a more intelligent society, but now you have all sorts of blind spots in your choice because you've only selected on IQ. Now what happens? You have all sorts of other defects that you've created by doing this. So no, I am never for the intentional societal manipulation of genetics. Never. Although, what I say is, let us never forget that whatever we do has genetic consequences. And that's one of the big problems. It's that currently society is eugenic without knowing it and without wanting to accept and acknowledge it. That's a big problem. But I'm not suggesting that we should aim for IQ. In fact, I don't think that IQ is all that good evolutionarily. imagine the mixes that you get. I mean, right now, for example, there is a link between low intelligence and criminality. Completely natural, because, of course, if you have the possibility to, if you are desirable and an intelligent asset for society, for a corporation, you will make it in a legitimate path. You will be part of the free market or somewhat free market of the modern world, which is not free. But you'll make it in one way or another. So at the bottom of society, what do you end up having? It's the people who are most deprived of talents and cognition, who have a bigger chance to become violent and for this to be the only lifestyle that they can survive in. Now imagine your plan. Well, we will inseminate all females with 130 IQ sperm. Okay. Now you get intelligent criminals. Now you get high planning, high IQ schizos. Now you get high IQ gangsters. Now you get gangsters that know how to shoot precisely. It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. You have to let nature sort these things out. You have to just follow sexual selection. That is the only way in which it works. Anything else you do is an engineered misdirection, and you're going to fail at it because you don't think about everything that you would do. You think, oh, isn't it charming to have everyone high IQ in a society? Wait till the gangster has high IQ. Wait till the drug dealer has high IQ. Wait till the corrupt politician has high IQ. Good luck. Saved my dad's life using AI. A mom was contacting her son and saying, your dad has looked up Jerkmate 8 times on our TV. What is this? And the son made up a false spice called Jerkmate. Jerkmate, authentic jerk seasoning for your private sessions. Pleasure guaranteed. Spice level hot. And he says, oh no, he was just googling for a kind of spice that I talked to him about. I think that this may not be a true story, but it's a funny story to think about how AI now allows people to lie in their private life. The ape man says, all right, fair enough, it was just an idea. No, I mean, I enjoyed replying to you because it's an idea that people often think that, oh, I have the solution. And so we have to discuss about why that's wrong. In 2001, there was a movie called Not Another Teen. And in that movie, there was a character who was supposed to be ugly. And that's how she looked. In 2001, this was ugly. I love how we have gone the full mutant route. And now this would be a desirable girlfriend. But she was a joke in that movie, how bad she looked. Wow, 2001. That's only 25 years ago. 2001, I was chilling in the streets of Saint Jerome in 2001. That's when the planes hit in New York, the World Trade Center. I remember when I first heard it on the radio. Or it was maybe someone told me, I don't know if it was the radio or someone told me or called me, but I was in front of the Jean Coutu. I was in front of the pharmacy, just on the main street of Saint Jerome, in front of the hospital. I was just driving probably to my work or something. JF, you are hilarious. Well, thank you. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat. Super chats are working on YouTube, or you can use Streamlabs or XChat. The links are in the description below. Joseph says, when Crocop talks about his adolescence, he mentions... all right, sorry, I will just finish the reading. When Crocop talks about his adolescence, he mentions hitting a wooden target hanging in father's barn 200 times per day to practice his high kicks. They don't make them like this anymore. No, I mean, that's the big problem with kicks. You have to be insanely trained for your leg to be able to endure the pain. Because have you ever tried kickboxing? I did. And holy shit, does it hurt your leg to kick anything? And so, yeah, you have to be like willing to endure just almost as much pain as you induce into the opponent, but you hit the opponent's head, so he takes the whole shaking of his head. That is the key to a good kick. It's when you hit the head and it destabilizes the equilibrium measures of the fighter. But yeah, it hurts a lot, and some people will just break their leg trying to kick someone else. So yes, Crocop is type of kicks were just insane, absolutely insane. Marby Dog, is it Marby Dog? I have to. Marby Dog says, JF, I'm so glad you mentioned that our markets aren't free. When the government of every country is the largest single purchaser of goods and services within that country, you cannot have a free market. Absolutely, and we'll get to this. I'm getting to this soon. Someone wanted to comment on this. In fact, let's get to it right now. So this communist, he's annoying in the way he phrases things, and he's kind of a guy who originally would be a libertarian, but he's kind of saying, fuck it, the government is taken over so much, who cares? Let's be a communist. If the capitalists are going to exploit the state to basically enrich themselves, then the free market doesn't exist anymore. And in that fight, I might as well be a communist. So let's just listen to a small segment of what he's saying.
Because nobody likes you. Because you provide no tangible value to civilization, then you're expecting people to still preserve free market capitalism, which you don't even preserve yourself in this country. You literally only use it when it benefits you, and then you use the arm of the state to bail you out or preserve your asset prices at the expense of all civilization. There were a couple of people in my community post trying to make this point, like, well, if you don't like this country, this is a free market country, and they'll sell that. These billionaire parasites will tell you that to your face while they're using the arm of the state, taxpayer dollars, to prop up their asset prices, you know, like they do in Canada, right? You know, so then they get mad at you for saying that, you know, you don't have a problem with Mom Donnie's, you don't have a problem with, you know, socialists popping up, you don't have a problem with communists coming up, and then, like, you know, raising property taxes. Because another post came up, they're like, well, you know, how are these housing providers going to get by if they do a rent freeze in New York City? They're just going to be forced to sell off their investments and go fuck off somebody or somewhere else. It's like,
all right. So in short, what he's saying is there is a false free market going on right now. What's happening is that the capitalists, the people who enrich themselves, they are truly just lobbying the state to trick the game in a way that will enrich them. And he's completely right. I agree with everything in this video, except the jump to say, so this is capitalism, so we have to then do communism to stop all of that. No, we have to restore the capitalism that should have been. Right now, what we have is communism. What we have is a bunch of communist elites who are controlling the government enough that they enrich themselves through corrupt paths that are not free and that are not the product of a free market. Right now, the entirety of what you see around you is false money. It's false money because it's injected by the state. And yes, sometimes it's in the form of contracts. So it looks like a private company has been doing the pavement for the local government. But the local company has been hired by a government woman. They've been selected by a contract, and they've been built by funding from the government. They are being sent there, workers trained by the government, and they are ultimately, their life and death relies solely on the government. Compare this to me. Whatever, you know, I'm doing my streams. My streams will only work not if a government wants or doesn't want it. My streams will work as long as you guys are sending super chats. That's it. So I'm still in the free market. However, maybe some of you are working for the state, and therefore, your money is not real. So if there's state agents who feed into the private capitalist true free market system through their fake money, because they had this money from the government, either through social welfare, all of the checks that they send you in Canada or in the US these days, and the work itself is a lie. People work in universities. The universities are funded by the federal government. People work here and there. The contracts are given by the federal or local governments. So we are not, absolutely not, in a free market. But the solution is not to say, therefore, let's give up libertarianism. The solution is to say, let us restore a non-corrupt system of freedom. Now, getting there is hard, but it's not a solution to say, therefore, let's do communism and share the wealth. Because when you start sharing the wealth, you have the problem that the people you share the wealth with are even worse than the current capitalists. The current capitalists are just draining, they're just draining society's effectiveness away and just completely destroying civilization. The people you want to share your wealth with, if you start doing averaging, if you start giving wealth to people, and suppose you were to win some kind of a communist revolution or socialist revolution, the people are worse. They are in competition with you to outbreed you. That's even worse than a bad, corrupt capitalist who tries to corrupt the state. Wasp says, do you think being a male nurse would be a good career? Very female dominated, wouldn't like the gossiping and bitching, but pay is high. Tired of tree cutting industry pay. The pay is low and the risk to die. Yeah, it's definitely a path you can take. If you are a wagee, as we sometimes call them. If you need to work to live, nurse is a decent path. Be careful, though. It's a different domain. It's a domain of corporate approval. So you can't be known on the internet for having said even one racist thing or whatever. So be careful. The cancel culture is very high in those domains. Even if you were to just talk to a colleague about some, maybe you have some misogynistic view or whatever, you're done if you do this. So just know that it's a prison for your mind. But that's what a lot of people have to do. They have to shut up and play within the system. As far as the job, it's an interesting job. It's technical, it's well paid. And yeah, if you have it in you to just do the courses, absolutely, it's a decent path. And yes, you might argue there is less risk than the tree cutting, okay. But know that nurses can be faced with a lot of aggression. They can, you know, a lot of people who end up in an ambulance or a hospital, they didn't want to be there. And so you might live if various forms of aggression. If you're able to handle it, go for it. It's a decent path for you, absolutely. Yes, Gus Grizzle says nurses have to clean up crap. Yeah, it's the job. Stone Dust Bear says, bad argument, JF. Under the current thing, the elites outsource your outbreathing. Same end result. You know, I'd rather play a fair game in a wrapped environment of false economic signals rather than play a game where intentionally we have given false money to people. I think it's even worse. You know, at least in the current situation, you can still, in principle, pursue a free path. It's just that you're going to get hit by all these hit pieces and you're going to get all of this economic interference. But to abandon and say there should be no free path, even in principle, and to say we're just giving money to the lowest denominators of human society, I think that's a worse idea. I don't see how you can defend this. It's the difference between the thing is imperfect versus let's make it intentionally bad. let's just fund our enemies to be making as many babies as they can actively by the state. I don't think it's a good idea, personally. This guy is a Jersey Mike employee. There's a black woman who gets in and she wants a free sandwich because it's her birthday.
What you said? Who are
you
talking to?
You recording
now? Yeah, who you talking to? Yeah, I bet she won't say nothing now.
My name is David.
Yeah, what you say? Get the fuck out, right?
Mm-hmm. Please, yeah, and thank you.
That's what you
why?
Said, right?
Why?
No, oh, and don't oh, try to be nice. Oh, you said get the fuck out, oh, right? Why? You said get the fuck out, right?
So she wants a free sandwich, and he says get the fuck out. He's the manager of this Jersey Mike. By the way, Jersey Mike. Excellent Subways, excellent submarine sandwiches. I remember the way they, I believe they are the ones who do the oil and vinegar on a lot of lettuce, on freshly cut slices. There's something very special about these sandwiches. I think it's the way they just spray it with oil and vinegar generously.
Say it now. Say get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
Okay,
yeah. So now he repeats it. Get the fuck out. I hope that this guy doesn't lose his job because it's absolutely fair to an entitled customer to say get the fuck out. I mean, who's going to be offended by the F word in 2026?
Please and thank you.
Uh-huh. Jersey
Mike.
Please
and thank you. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Broke ass is cutting for $10. Fuck on.
Uh-huh. Because it's my birthday and I asked for
a
birthday meal.
It's your birthday.
Okay.
Fuck on.
It's my birthday, and I asked for a birthday meal. Is there such a rule at Jersey Mike, or is that a rule she invented?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, goofies.
Come on, watch you lose your job.
Look, your man's standing at the door. Come on.
Now, of course, she wanted to create all this drama to get him fired by filming him afterwards.
Right, not saying anything to you. And watch you lose your job, David. Broke asses on my birthday. This is how I get treated on my birthday at Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, fuck your birthday.
Okay.
Fuck your birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Man, fuck
keep going. And you're going to have a whole lawsuit. You got the right one to play with.
Yeah, I better have the money for it.
You don't need no money. Yeah.
That's a good point. He doesn't have to be very afraid of lawsuits because she's threatening a lawsuit, but he says, I bet you don't have the money for it. If you can't afford the submarine, you can't afford the lawsuit. Omerta says she should be entitled to a birthday meal. In fact, all should. This woman is a revolutionary. Oh yeah, this is the new Rosa Parks. We will celebrate her advancement of society 1,000 years down the line.
Mm-hmm. A whole lawsuit. Thank you.
Go enjoy your sandwich. Fuck on my face.
Uh-huh.
What should I get again? I forgot.
You should know what we ordered.
I don't remember faces in my bag.
You don't remember faces?
What kind of sandwich you get?
You don't remember? Where's your manager?
Right here.
Where's your manager?
Right here, man.
So it's good to have a token black guy just beside, just in case there's any accusation of racism. You always keep your black coworker beside so he can be kind of saying, no, there was no racism here. We just wanted her to pay for a sandwich. Yeah, we are talking about the youth of females. That is a very telling Reddit post. I find it so weird how the world is obsessed with a woman's prime. Seriously, the entire notion is complete BS. And it's not even fringe manosphere weirdos who obsess over women aging. Society has put women's youth on a pedestal, which is made clear by how it's ingrained into media, books, and general culture, and not just in the West. Telling a woman she looks young for her age is made out to be the highest compliment, when all it does is reinforce patriarchal standards of beauty. Young girls are told to get married early or else they will be viewed as damaged goods by the time they're in their mid-20s. Many male authors will describe a main female character as in her prime, but she will be no older than 21. Movies and TV shows will have female characters sad about turning 30 or lying about their ages to not seem old, but I've yet to see that with male characters. The biology argument constantly gets used because apparently our ape brains can't help but view fertility as the ultimate marker of attractiveness. But if that's were the case, one, why aren't pregnant/postpartum bodies the standard instead of adolescent-looking ones? And two, why don't men have their fertility called into question as sperm quality declines after 35? Sometimes I wonder what the point of getting into a heterosexual relationship would be if I'm merely going to be seen as useless in a few years. I don't even plan on being a parent, so I guess I'm already a wasted vessel. When I very briefly had a fling with an older guy at 18, the way guys his age would look at him in amazement and not so subtly congratulate him was so weird to me. It made me rethink. So I wrote a tweet today to answer to these questions because there's a lot of misconceptions in there. First, it is not true that it's about fertility. I've been making this case for many years. It's not the fertility. A woman at 28, 32, 34 is still fertile. So it's not the fertility issue. It's about the generational length and the hope of a chain of babies. We'll talk about this. The ape man sends a super chat. He says, the Flynn effect shows that the average IQ of white Americans was only about 70, only 100 years ago, suggesting some unknown factor. Another solution, The Flynn effect being 100 years ago. I don't remember seeing anything like this. First, it would be 70, what, by the standards of today, by the standards of the 80s? I believe that is a wrong statement, simply. The Flynn effect has not been a constant gain of 0.3 IQ points over a whole century. And I don't know what kind of extrapolation you're using to get there, because if you add actual data, you are claiming something about the 1920s right now, because 100 years ago was the 1920s. Now, there were no IQ tests that I know of. I don't think there was a racially gathered IQ test in 1920s. The first IQ test probably come a little later than this, so I believe you would be making some extrapolation here, or some, you know, how they sometimes they have these methods to try to estimate the IQ in the 17th century. But I don't think that's true, that 70 IQ. So we would have been effectively retarded in 1920. I'd be very surprised, very surprised. You'd have to give me the links to this. The Ape Man says, the research I've seen shows 3 points per decade. And again, it's showing about 100 years ago. And there were IQ tests. I mean, I can research this and maybe answer to you in a later show, because I've never really thought about this question of the 1920s. Let me ask Grok here. Grok, what was the average IQ in the 1920s compared to today in a American/European society? Do, 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 do. I would have a big difficulty to believe that my grandfather's generation were literally all retarded. Marby Dog says, I thought IQs were going down. Well, when we think of the Flynn effect, we think of a general rise from the 1920s to the 1980s. And then you have people like Edward Dutton and his mentor who have, I believe it was with Flynn that he may have been publishing this. Not Flynn, but Lynn, where he would have shown a stabilization around the 80s, and then it goes a little down. In American and European societies, the average IQ in the 1920s was substantially lower than today's average of 100 when measured against modern test norms. This is due to the well-documented Flynn effects. IQ tests are periodically renormed. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the Grok says roughly 70 on modern norms for people around the early 20th century, including 1920s. Yeah, okay, well, scoring modern people against early 20th century norms would yield an average around 130. Okay, I never really investigated this. What I will say is, I don't think that this was illustrating their full potential of intelligence, because when I think of the people back then, when I think of my grandfather, I see people who were extremely knowledgeable. They had horses, they had animals, they were capable of farming very intelligently. So if they had a 70 score, I would expect that this was due to perhaps a lack of education, perhaps not maximal nutrition. And I would argue that it was not an illustration of their genetic potential, but probably just the fact that intellectual matters were less useful to life back then, and so they didn't have it. That would be my tentative explanation. Now, your question was suggesting some unknown factor. Well, yeah, I would say if we have roughly the same genetics as our forebearers had of then, you know, unless you want to invoke some population changes, which certainly are happening all the time, but in a given family, if you told me that my grandfather passed a IQ test at much lower than me, and that this would be true for a lot of people today with respect to their grandfather, I would expect that nutrition, education, modernity, that something has improved the standards of life, but has not improved the genetics in any way. So I believe we are just boosting people with the Flynn. The Flynn effect, I believe, is essentially a cultural boost that has its ceiling, and in fact, that is counterproductive genetically. So I believe that the more you give nutrition and education for free to people, the more you farm into the population genetics that are meant to be lower IQ. So that's a big problem, because you have a measure of the IQ improving in society, but you don't ask yourself, am I worsening the genetic quality of, and down the line, am I getting more stupid? Because it's very easy to boost the education of someone and to make them more acquainted to the task form of an IQ test. But it's another question whether ultimately the 70 IQs of this day, of these days, were they more intelligent, more capable, and more independent than a 100 IQ of today? Because let me tell you, when I cross 100 IQs out there, they are effectively helpless retards. They are absolutely dependent on society, and most of them would die if they were to face the harshness of the environment that my grandparents faced. So I don't think IQ, I've always said it, IQ is not really the right measure to go at all this, to just think of a society. Of course you don't want, of course, I've always talked about the problem of racial differences in IQ. And of course, you don't want to make your society intentionally stupid. But I believe there are massive limits in using IQ as a measure of anything, really, other than the ties to relatively, the loose ties to school performance and that kind of things. And even the school has kind of been shaped in a way that is not tied to external success very much anymore. So I don't even know that it's useful for that anymore. Miles sends a super chat. He says, just found out that my wife is pregnant with our second child. Such a blessing. Men out there need to ignore the anti-natalistic messaging of modernity. Yes! I'm receiving a lot of news. A lot of people are sending me DMs this week. First child, second child, third child, it's going well. Guys, we are absolutely reproducing. I believe that if a JF exists in 1,000 years from now, I believe he's going to have more than 200 viewers. He's going to have maybe 500 viewers live, because the rate at which we reproduce here in the JF community is just above standards. Jason Williams says, JF, I heard the Flynn effect is reversing. Is that true? Well, to my knowledge, it is true. I mean, and when you think about it, it has to be true. Have you seen the demographic change of the US and European societies? So, yes, it has to be true by average. And anyways, just the way our societies operate is deprived of any selection. Like, we give jobs to people. We just give jobs to maintain them alive. So, of course, I'm sure that there had to be a peak to the gains of IQ. I believe that what's been happening is we've given so much to people, we boosted their IQ artificially. It wasn't genetically supported. We just allowed everyone to kind of live free on the state bill. And that created a counter-evolutionary force that now is starting to show up, which is, well, when you give free money to people, the dumbest survive better than you, because while you have your girlfriend who's thinking about, do I actually love him? Do I feel secure around him? Do I think that there is a promise for a large house in which each of my children will have two of their own rooms and where they will be able to study at the greatest universities? While you do this, there's some woman in the club and she's just twerking and she's just getting inseminated that night with a guy and then 9 months later with another guy. And she's beating you evolutionarily, because in a society supported by the state, all of these people who are dumb, they have an edge on you because you overthink everything, because you come from another world. You come from a world in which you would have been actually responsible for the survival of these children. But that's not the world of today. The world of today is twerk in the club and forget to put the condom, and as dumb as you can be that dumb, because that will help you make more babies. So someone was asking, what is the Flynn effect, Jeff? The Flynn effect is simply the observation that between 1920s or somewhere around that up to today, there has been a general increase of IQ. So if you run IQ tests back then on random populations, people were less intelligent. And eventually, between 1920 and today, the intelligence has increased. Now, I've never been a fan of intelligence as being a target for society in general. I am an intelligent guy, and I surround myself with intelligent people. But I don't think it's a target for society. There is kind of a fatalistic... Intelligence is a poison gift, okay? Intelligence will make your life so much more difficult because you can understand everything, and it sucks. It's a big burden to wear on your mind, and it does reduce the number of babies you're going to have, especially on the woman's side. These women who make it into the university and they study up to 30 years old, they're not going to make much babies. They're going to be lucky if they get one or two. So I've never been a fan of increasing intelligence of society. I've always been alarmed. Let's not make our society retarded and criminal, please. But that's a very different statement from let's max our IQ. Let's try to push the Flynn effect to 140. I don't see the use of intelligence in current society anyways. It's mostly a damnation. You will argue with people with things that you know are true. I know I haven't killed Mama JF, for example, and yet you have these monkeys around you who think you did. Or even I was mentioned on Tucker Carlson apparently today. I haven't watched the interview, but Jay Dyer mentioned that he faced a French-Canadian atheist debater. And I don't know what he said about me, but I know that Jay Dyer is convinced that he has the truth on the question of universal truths. And it's like, no, you don't. And it doesn't matter if millions of people, of course, will side with you because they're Christian and they want to believe that a universal truth exists, that God exists. You still are incorrect. That is the damnation of being clever. It's the damnation of understanding that you have the truth, but the people around you will never be able to understand it. Jason Williams says, thank you, JF. Wanted to say thanks for the fasting advice. I've been losing weight, pushing to lose weight to make babies. Excellent. We are looking good right now in the JF community. How many children have I caused into existence by just insisting for years and years, telling you guys, make babies, find whatever ways you can to make babies? I think there might be of people who have come back to me and who have said, Jeff, I have a child because of you. I think there might be 50, 70 maybe. That's the number of babies that certainly have been caused by me. And I'm sure there are all sorts of other guys who don't contact me about it. But I'm so happy when I hear this. So see, you are advancing your delta. This is my new concept. It's the delta of the sex machine. So you are in a position of the universe. You have deltas. It's like a differential. You can make a little step that way, a little step that way. And you should only make step really that get you to the goal of the universe, which is baby making. So now you've made a massive step. If you're starting to lose weight with fasting, that is excellent. By the way, fasting is much more easy. I've been trying recently to go back to cola drinks, not Diet Coke, because I want to stay off caffeine, but various ginger ales and Dr. Pepper, which has caffeine, but I take it sometimes. And I've discovered it's really much easier to fast on Gatorade Zero than it is to fast on colas. There's something about the electrolyte equilibrium that is much better in the Gatorade Zero than it is in the colas. Omerta says, do you think the society we're in, which is having clear negative effects on reproduction, high quality reproduction and meaning, is orchestrated? What are the origins of this current paradigm? Well, definitely. I mean, there is. I've been saying for a long time that society is under anti-natalist propaganda. The anti-natalist propaganda has various roots to it. Certainly, the fact that the white population is the only one that is holding this nation in a kind of at least hoping for some conservative free market economy. That is a problem because there is a whole hostile elite that has taken over America and that has decided we really hate these whites. We really want them out of jobs. We want them out of being fathers for their own children. We want them childless. And so a lot of things have been pushed to deprive ecologically the white man of access to anything in the world. So that starts with family court, deprive them of the marriage contract. So reinvent divorce in a way where marriage doesn't mean anything anymore. And that is a first prong of attack. Eventually, economic deprivation of the white man. So we're not going to hire on talent anymore. We're going to hire on skin color. And of course, the skin color that doesn't get you a job is white. Those are all attacks that are meant to make the white man less desirable than interferences with reproduction. We've seen it throughout my life. Just whatever I do in the direction of reproduction, I get attacked, hit pieces on me. Woman trying to contact my girlfriends to tell them he's a murderer or he's a rapist. I mean, it's insane. So absolutely, we live under absolute attack on the capacity for the white man to reproduce. The white female is involved in this to some extent. It's not just external forces and elites. The white female is involved in a lot of it. The white female has essentially teamed up with the state and is trying to drain any control over the next generation for the white man. And they will fail. They will fail. I can see it in my life. All of these ex-bitches of mine, they all got one baby. And then what? Then they became no one. They just became a single mom to that one baby. So meanwhile, families that are united or giga chads of the internet like me, what do? Well, we get 5-6 babies. And that is evolutionary outcompetitions. The single mom lifestyle will disappear within your life. You won't be dead. You will still be alive. You'll be an old guy. But you will see the single mom trend that we're in right now will disappear because it's unsustainable evolutionarily. My God, you guys are super generous tonight with super chats. Thank you very much. Schwangs has sent a super chat. He says, regarding baby maxing, do you think all should spam it? The fact that you can do it justifies itself. To me, many shouldn't. I believe the approach that I advocate for is absolutely spam. Spam your sperm. Spam your sperm in the baby containers. Now, you can still be an idealist. I'm an idealist. I approach every woman who approaches me. I approach her with the dream that she will be my wife, that she will be different from any other woman. Now, at some point, the stats will bite the idealist. Like, it's very hard for me at this point, now that I've seen literally 200 and more than 200 women approach me, have, try to say they love me and then betray me in the worst possible ways. It's very hard for me to say, all right, I still believe that the next one might be okay. But I still do it. I still do it out of stubbornness and idealism. So the way you should approach your spam sperm is I can remain an idealist in principles, but I have a duty to inseminate anything. And that is how you should look at it. Now, you say, well, what about you seem to be worried that this leads to lower quality or that to you, many shouldn't do it. But you're not the judge of this. You're not the evolutionary judge of the success of other people. So shut up with your attempt at controlling society. It doesn't matter what you think, because what you think might be wrong. You might think, oh, we have too many stupid people. And then down the line, it's your descent that dies for being too intelligent, for knowing too much how to take the birth pill, for being too enslaved by the medical system, for being too clever and putting a condom every time they got a chance to inseminate. And these stupid people will outbreed you. So you are not the judge. Let nature be the judge. And nature does it through sexual selection. And ultimately, it's down to what woman will let me come inside of her. That is the only criteria by which nature advances forward. And it is so much more intelligent than your thoughts. Your thoughts are nothing because you're not a life engineer. You don't understand the dynamics. You don't understand the trade-offs. You don't understand that when you choose something in life, there's all sorts of other genes that are suddenly less efficient, that are in a different environment suddenly. Only nature can do that computation. So yes, spam sperm. If you're an idealist in your heart, keep being an idealist. I do it. I approach a woman and I'm like, that would be nice if she was my wife. Then I realize she doesn't want to be my wife. She just wants to steal the sperm. And so I let her steal the sperm. And of course, I protect my finances and my life so that as she steals the sperm, hopefully she doesn't also destroy my life. And it went pretty smooth with the last one. Because the last one tried very hard to get the government of Alberta to crack down on my family and to effectively come and kidnap my children. And she failed so hard. It was beautiful to see that finally I'm in a place where the government will protect my rights, independent of the fact that these evil bitches are using lies to try to get me in trouble. I found the right place to be in, and it's Alberta. Genesis says, JF, have you seen Idiocracy? Absolutely. I've said repeatedly that Idiocracy is a documentary about the future. Need Staff sends $20. Thanks for addressing my email, JF. Well, thanks to you very much for the generous donation. We have Sober as a judge. Let's see what he says in his super chat.
Good evening, JF. How do you deal with the constant hunger noise? Why not simply go on Rita/Tirzepatide and make weight management easy and non-exhausting? Food restriction alone tends to get harder as time passes.
Why do I not take medications that would make me less hungry so that my diet can be easier to do? It hasn't really crossed my mind, really. It's not that hard. You really just need to have the will, and I've already lost a lot of weight just out of will. I've not thought about it because, honestly, in Canada, I don't even know if they do this. I know that in the US, you guys are such consumers of medications, it's insane. You can literally go to your doctor like he's a drug dealer, and he's going to give you some of the most addictive shit. And so I understand that in the US lifestyle, you guys keep going to buy medications like they're candies. As far as I'm concerned, that's not how I approach medications. I hate to take medications. I take the least I can. I've had some medications in my life, especially when I was fatter. I had to take some medications for blood pressure. Thankfully, and this is a great news. I mean, I haven't talked to you guys about it yet, but my recent weight loss allowed me to leave all medications. I am now on zero medications, so I don't even need blood pressure correction anymore. That is the great advantage of losing weight. So right now I am functional and I am in my target blood pressure and heart rate. All of it has been restored to my natural and the desirable measures, and I'm now on zero medication. So that's the way I approach medication, which is I only take medication when it's needed to survive. Ideally, I don't want any medication. And if there's something like fasting that I know I can do from my own will, I will not take a medication to help me do it. Human Drill sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, did you see Patriot Front March in DC on the 4th? 400 men. Nick Fuentes was saying they'd be better if they did everything besides marching, but marching is what allows us to get past censorship. I have seen some of the clips. In general, I've been enthusiastic about the Patriot Front guy. I also understand the critique of Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is saying this kind of organization that does physical stuff, IRL stuff, inevitably it's filled with people who are in there for different reasons. They might be feds. You might never know if they're feds. That is Nick Fuentes' reasoning. Though, ultimately, I side more with the idea that, yes, you know, there should be physical practice of your right to speak and demonstrate. And that's what Patriot Front seems to be doing. To me, I've never gone into the narrative. By the way, the Patriot Front leader has come on this show, on the public space, back in, what, 2018, 19? So I know the guy. He's been talking to us from the very beginning. This sounds like an honest guy to me. I've never been in those whole accusing them of being feds and stuff. It's not a very productive way to treat the question. But the idea of standing and practicing and auditing your right to speak and demonstrate and doing it in an organized and very outward way, the way they do, is not a bad thing in my view. I don't see anything wrong about it. I'm happy that they can do it and that they do it. Now, maintaining such an organization is a lot of scanning and research, and you never know down the line if you're with feds or if some feds have infiltrated it. But I trust that they're clever enough to also know, you know, don't say stupid thing even if you think you're in private, because down the line, yes, there is a big economic incentive. There is a lot of people who would want to dox these guys. That's my opinion on this. What was I talking about? Yes, so why? Let's repeat. Why are 20 years old women the most beautiful? Or 18 years old, if you want to go there. Let us answer these questions scientifically. Why are men obsessed with women's prime? There are two reasons. One, the compression of generations in time. It makes more babies down the line. If you make 4 babies around 20 years old versus if you make 4 babies around 40 years old, you have compressed 2 generations in the time of one for the competitor. So if you make 4 babies and each of these 4 babies make 4 babies on a cycle of 20 years, just 40 years down the line, you already have 16 grandchildren. Meanwhile, your competitor who has waited to 40 years old, he has only 4 children. So you have 16, he has 4. This is why the earliest you can have children in life is preferable. That is the evolutionary competition. And it goes down to you can dominate a town within 100 years. You can dominate the entire continent within 500 years if you just breed earlier. That is the biggest evolutionary advantage. Beyond, by the way, being intelligent, being beautiful, being whatever, age. The speed at which you can produce a generation and renew the next generation into producing your grandchildren. That is so much evolutionary efficiency compared to anything. You know, people think, oh, the features, survival, are you going to get hit by a car? Do you have high IQ to get a job? Do you have a nice house? None of this matters all that much. If you can fuck at 20-year-old, that matters a lot. The second reason 20 years old are more sexy, 20 years old will be fertile for longer. They have a potential reproductive career of 15 years ahead of them, which could produce 15 babies in principle. Again, more descendant possibilities. Having sex with a 35 years old is maybe, just maybe, one baby in my line of descent. If I have sex with a 20-year-old, if I can keep her around, now, in this society, that's almost impossible. But classically, traditionally, if you had sex with a 20-year-old, she might be your wife for still 15 years of reproduction, of valid reproduction. So that would mean 10, 12, 13 babies. So those are the two big reasons why 20 years olds are more beautiful, objectively, evolutionarily. And then the question, if men are all about fertility, then why aren't pregnant women the most sexy? Well, that is so stupid as a question. It shows you don't understand anything. This Reddit post doesn't understand anything. Pregnant females cannot be sexy because there's no reason to inseminate them. So pregnant females are effectively 80 years old from a fertility standpoint. It's actually the one case where you know you're not going to get a baby. At least, you know, with the 80 years old, maybe you can hope for a special event of nature. But the pregnant female, it's impossible to get a baby from her. That's why she doesn't have to be sexy. And that's fine. You know, the guy who is with a pregnant woman, that doesn't mean to mistreat her or even to not have sex with her. But you have sex with her because you are part of the project of producing life and you are thankful that she is pregnant with your child and you want to keep her around, you want to keep her happy. And so you have sex with her and you kind of take it in, you simulate the excitement, maybe you close your eyes and you think about a non-pregnant female and then you come inside of her for no reason at all but to maintain her love for you. The ape man sends a super chat. He says the earliest humans in the archaeological record also had much larger brains, suggesting a long-term decrease in our genetic intelligence as our sociological intelligence has increased. Yeah, well, larger brain, you know, I don't accept any. I don't accept any conclusions on that basis. You know, Neanderthal had larger brain. Were they more intelligent? We don't know. Gorillas have larger brain, I think. Of course, they'll tell you, well, not larger by relative body mass, but they have larger brains. Elephants have larger brains too. Oh, not by body mass. Well, we don't. We cannot affirm any correlate that is solid in terms of predicting intelligence from purely the brain size. Brent says, a 42-year-old Brazilian woman who lives in my building has two sons in their early mid-20s from a first marriage and now has a 5-year-old autistic daughter from her most recent ex-boyfriend. 35 female having babies equals bad. Again and again, I've inseminated females that were in the old category. Not very old. What was my worst? Maybe at 35, 36. I've had good luck. I've produced viable babies again and again with this range. Of course, at 36, 37, 38, that becomes tight. That becomes where you play with probabilities and you might have handicaps, genetic defects, and failure of pregnancy. They will lose the baby very often. But it's I've played the game and I scored every time. Now someone was saying, Jeff, don't you enjoy busting inside? Busting inside a pregnant female? Well, you know, having sex with a pregnant female is truly demanding for the male mind. I've had sex several times with pregnant females. Of course, there were females that were carrying my baby. So I was doing it for the purpose of emotional attachment. The fact is that it is a physical bump that is obstructing. You know, it's like, imagine the belly of the man and the woman are adjusted so that it fits. Now imagine you add a bump. Now suddenly you are like, you know, when you drive in these cool areas and your car hits the bump that's meant to slow cars. And then your car does. Well, every penetration in the vagina of a pregnant female feels like this speed bump. You know, it echoes. It echoes when you hit it. It slows down the rhythm. And it's not a super pleasant experience, honestly. You know, it kind of gives you an appreciation for masturbation, like, because there's this bump that already has a baby in it. The baby is also your future child, and it's like you're coming over your future child, and it's not particularly the whole sexiness of it is completely gone. And your genes know. They know that there's not going to be an extra child from the insemination. That's probably what's most heartbreaking about it. It's to just see the sperm go. See it go and just be pushed out by whatever uterus structure is there. Nicholas Petrus says, for that reason, I probably wouldn't be intimate with my pregnant wife. Honestly, if we could have kind of a new rule in society where it's like no sex during the pregnancy, like I'm happy. Let's do some massage. Let's kiss. Let's cuddle. Let's Netflix and chill. Can we have a new rule in society where we don't do the sex during the And then it's like the woman who's pregnant, the problem is she's reading all of these forums. And she's like, oh, wow, I read on Reddit that actually having sex to as late as the 9-month period up to the due date will help the delivery because the sperm will have some hormonal effect. I'm sure we can discover these hormones and just inject with a syringe or something. And fourth point, why aren't men getting their fertility questioned since their sperm quality diminishes with age? Because I've made the point already, it's not about sperm or egg quality. That's not what we're looking for in a 20-year-old. In a 20-year-old, we're looking for, and that doesn't exist anymore, by the way. So in 2026, dating a 20-year-old is not that much of a good idea. Because she's going to be so, I mean, unless she's kind of a Christian resistance, super fertile woman who's against the birth pill. But the general 20-year-old of 2026 is not a good catch. Because she's going to be all entangled into her father, her mother. They're going to have to determine if you're the right guy for her. She's going to be into condoms, birth pill, abortions. You're basically not going to have a reproductive career of 12 babies with that woman. However, the reason we find 20-year-old sexy still is that we still have the hope of the past. Because in the past, a 20-year-old would get you a reproductive career. Today, it doesn't. Today, that's why my approach has been converting from an idealist approach of I would like to have a woman that gives me 10 babies to a more realistic approach, which is I will just fuck anything that looks like a female uterus. That is the path of my life. That is what I had to do. Nick Fuentes will be in an interview with Hunter Biden. That is so exciting. It's going to come out this month. I think we can speculate on what might be happening in that interview. People are already saying that there are reports that there was kind of a fight between the two, that the host here had to step up and separate them physically. That is extremely interesting. I believe that most likely what will happen is that there will be good exchange. That's going to be back and forth, sometimes trolling, sometimes joking together and laughing together. That's what people are saying, that they were laughing together at some points of the interview. I believe what we might have is Nick Fuentes perhaps even complimenting Hunter Biden on the whole, female stuff, having sex on crack cocaine with these bitches. I think we might have a couple of jokes from Nick Fuentes on this. That would be hilarious to me. Maybe even Nick Fuentes kind of admiring the lifestyle and fake complimenting or true complimenting Hunter Biden about it. Because Nick Fuentes back in the days, many years ago, had already said that Hunter Biden was so cool for doing this. That he was cooler than Don Jr. So that's a possible direction. I believe that ultimately there will be discussions of left and right, but it will all boil down at some point to race, misogyny, and Israel. And on one of these prongs is probably where the fight must have happened. It's possible that Nick will have been doing some bravado, some shush, some you stay down, or maybe he's going to have provoked Hunter Biden in some form. And then Hunter Biden was probably very motivated in making himself look like a tough guy. Like, I told this Nazi what I thought about him. You should have, if I wasn't stopped by the host, I would have punched him. You know how these drug takers, army guys, I mean, Hunter Biden is all of these things, if I understand correctly. Maybe not an army guy, but some kind of international tough guy Maybe it's the other guy that was in the army, but Hunter Biden has been in the geopolitics, certainly, international lawyer geopolitics. But wasn't he dismissed from the army? Yeah, I think he was dismissed from the army for his drug addiction or something like this. I would have to review. But in any case, he's kind of a rough around the corners type of guy, kind of guy who may want to act tough and have maybe anger issues at times. So I believe it's very easy for these guys to transform their anger issues into a legitimate political cause. Like, he said this about females and I won't take it because I don't take misogynists like this. It's probably something like this that would have led to the physical confrontation, if any. I expect Hunter Biden to have used this opportunity to try to just dump onto Nick and say, oh, see how I owned him? I told him to his face that he was a racist, which is getting you some points on the Democrat side. But fundamentally, I think there's a very interesting question about how Nick approached this. Because we have a very big weakness here in Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden has low anger control, low self-control, has a completely messed up life pursuing hedonistic, fucking of young women by basically purchasing them with money and influence, selling these cheap paintings for high price because he's the son of the president, being on crack, cocaine, being careless about the privacy of his own computer, which led it to be exposed. And in these days, Hunter Biden is out there on podcasts like Candace Owen and saying things that are in line with the kind of a conspiracy against his father by effectively Israel. So you have here a guy who is cozying up with anti-Israel positioning in the podcasting industry. But just like the people who surround Tucker, the people who surround Owen Benjamin, the people who surround Ian Carroll, Candace Owens, they all are trying to do this surgical operation on the right, where they say, oh, we're going to take the Israel critique, but we're not going to take the truth about race and the truth about women and this and that. And Hunter Biden is probably in the same position where he's trying to mirror, perhaps on the leftist side, what Candace Owens is on the rightist side. And there is an excellent opportunity there. I hope that Nick took it to just call out the bullshit here. Like, you're flirting with anti-Israelism, but at the same time you're dropping people under the bus who are actual anti-Zionists who have been founding this form of thought in the modern era, like Nick Fuentes. So there is no resolution of the Zionist issue in America until we have addressed the cancel culture that is being done to its best proponents, people like Nick Fuentes. So I believe there's a lot of call-outs that may have come from Nick Fuentes. I'll be watching this when it comes out with great excitement. And that was all I had to say today. So Ray Rissom, before we close the show, says, have you seen a right-wing Catholic old woman politician was murdered in England? The anti-terrorism police are investigating it. Looks like it will be probably left-wing violence and Widdecomb. I heard the name. I don't know if the murder thing is more recent. I heard that name before. When did the murder happen? A conservative party. July 9th. So it happened 4 days ago. Okay, I'll be reading about it. I don't know I don't remember her exactly for what she was or had done. Coolio says, dun, dun, dun. As I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize whatever this was. Coolio says, hey, JF, did you see Sam Neill, Dr. Grant, from the masterpiece Jurassic Park has died? Ah, I didn't know that. Well, you know, I just reviewed Jurassic Park a month ago, approximately. Much respect to the man. He had definitely a way to act hope and wisdom and knowledge that has been unmatched, I would say. You know, this kind of father figure of the man who knows more than anyone around him, that's very hard to play for an actor. It's easy to play a bitchy person who knows everything and actually that's not true. But to play inspiration and the search for truth in a reserved way, in a way where you're not being an asshole about it, that's very hard. And I would say Sam Neill has been the peak example of this. Like a character where you can just see in his eyes that he wants the truth and that he's fascinated about it, but that they don't have to do it through scripting. Because when you do it through scripting, oh, I know this, ha, I know that, oh, you're wrong about this, then it's just an asshole. And it reminds you more of the Rick and Morty midwit type of guy, the Redditor who calls you out on little things, but who doesn't have a greater search for the truth. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I will see you all. Maybe tomorrow I'll be on a break. I'll be on Le Courrier du Coeur, and then I'll come back here on Wednesday.